Good morning, friends. Please turn in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 15, found on page 1203. The Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to read chapter 15. I'm going to read the beginning verses and then move to verse 11. So Luke 15, listen, this is God's word. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then down to verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Well, I want you to imagine this morning the president coming to Bloomington. Now, who would you expect him to spend time with? Well, probably the local politicians, the city mayor, other council members, maybe the leading citizens of the city, whether that's the businessmen, the charity workers, the teachers, the doctors, people who have brought benefit to the city in some way. Well, instead of visiting these people, he visits the drunks at night, the young people who are engaged in antisocial behavior, the long-term unemployed on benefits, or he goes into the jail to talk to those behind bars. He spends time with these people, Well, you would be outraged. They don't deserve his time or attention. What have they done for the good of society? Well, this is how the Pharisees felt about Christ. This is the context of these three parables of Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son or the prodigal son. The Pharisees and the scribes, they are angry. They're grumbling about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. They say that this man receives sinners and eats with them. What they say is true. Christ ignores all the codes of behavior, all the protocol, and he spends time with the sinners, with the rejects of society, the poor, the insignificant, those who were hated. His mission on earth was to seek and to save that what was lost. That's why we have these three parables on lostness. And in each parable, they are found. But the parable of the lost son helps us to see that everyone is lost. And so I want you to notice that you are the lost son who either goes to the far country or yearns for the far country. But when you come to the Father, you become a son who is found. So firstly, you are the lost son. This parable has three main characters, the younger son, the older son, and the father. And the father is the hero of the story. He welcomes home his son, the sinner, and eats with him by providing this feast. And so the father represents Jesus. He is at the heart of this parable. In the same way, he is at the heart of the parable of the lost sheep as the shepherd. He's at the parable of the lost coin as the woman. He is the one who comes to find the lost son. Who is the lost son? Who is the prodigal? Is it the younger son? Is it the older son? Well, we see it's both sons. The younger son represents the tax collectors and the sinners. The elder son represents the Pharisees and the scribes. This parable was going to hit hard. It included the very audience that Jesus was talking to, but includes not only the audience then, but also the audience today. This parable includes you. Glenn Scrivener says the world divides into two camps, sinners and slaves. The sinners love freedom. The slaves love respect. The sinners opt out of the system to discover themselves. The slaves opt in to prove themselves. The sinner breaks the rules while the slave likes to make the rules. Well, which lost son are you like? Are you like the younger brother, the sinner? Or are you like the older brother, the slave? And in this parable, we see the sinner being welcomed home to the feast while the slave remains outside the home grumbling. And it's a picture of what is happening here with Jesus. The tax collectors and sinners are eating with Jesus while it's the Pharisees and scribes who are at the side grumbling. So notice you are the lost. Well, secondly, do you yearn for the far country? The younger son felt restricted. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to be free from the rules to make his own decisions. The bright lights of the city looks much more appealing than the routine and the quietness of the farm. And so he goes to his father and said, "Give me my share of the estate, my share of the inheritance that is coming to me." Now, the younger son can expect an inheritance. You don't get an inheritance until the person is dead. So what the son asks for is deeply offensive. He is wanting his father to be dead so that he would get the money. Glenn Scrivener says, at this point we realize the younger son is not a rough diamond. He is not a lovable rogue. He is scum. And we are like him. Now, maybe you're thinking, no, that's a bit extreme. I don't identify with the younger son. I would never ask for that. But consider your response to God. Are you happy to simply take all that he gives you? but you're not interested in a relationship with him. The difference with the younger brother is that he is bold enough to say it out loud. Older brothers would never say that out loud. But notice the father divides a property, his livelihood, not just to the younger son, but also to the older son. The older son takes his father's inheritance also. Yes, he didn't ask for it, but he takes it nonetheless. His relationship with the father is not much better. Both sons use their father. Both sinner and slave use God. The sinner takes the blessings and runs off to the far country. The slave takes the blessing and builds his reputation out in the field. And so the younger son, he goes to the far country, and we read that he squandered the money the father gave him in wild living. He had lots of fun. He would have friends. He would be at the center of attention. Everyone would like him. He's like the child in the playground with a bag of candy. It's not long before all the children are around that child asking for candy. When the candy runs out, the children all run back to their games. The child is left all alone. That's what happens to the younger son. His money was gone. It's all spent. He ends up broke. Everything he hoped he would get in the far country is gone. He ends up starving in this pigsty. The far country is a mirage. The far country is like a colorful, glossy brochure. Maybe you're planning your summer vacation and you've gone to the travel agent and you see all these brochures of white sandy beaches, blue skies, beautiful swimming pools, luxurious hotel rooms. But when you go, your destination looks nothing like the brochure. The weather is dreary. The beaches are crowded. The pool is green. The hotel room is dirty. The reality is the pigsty. All your hopes are dashed when you go to the far country. You will not find freedom or satisfaction. Jesus' listeners, these tax collectors, these sinners, these social outcasts, they could relate. They are the younger sons. They have left their families. They have gone out in search for happiness. They wanted to be satisfied. It didn't matter how they achieved it. And so they traveled to the far country. But they found it empty. And so they have come to Jesus. In him there is hope. Well, the older son doesn't go to the far country. But he yearns for the far country. That's where his heart is. And that's revealed later in the parable. When he speaks to his father, he mentions, this is the older son, he mentions how the younger son had wasted his money on prostitutes. Now, we're not told if there are prostitutes in the far country, but the older son assumes there are. He might not be bold enough to physically go to the far country, but he has gone there in his mind, imagining the sinful delights that can be had there. So how about you? Do you yearn for the far country, wanting freedom to go your own way? Well, the far country promises so much, but in the end, it's a pigsty. Well, thirdly, do you come to yourself or do you come to the Father? The youngest son is desperate. And to make matters worse, the whole country is in need. There is a famine. And so we have this pitiful situation of this young Jewish man living in a Gentile country with no one to look out for him. He's working on a pig farm, and he's so hungry, he even considers eating the food that the pigs are eating. He left his family, his country, to gain freedom, and in the end, he is in absolute poverty. The younger brother in this parable would have been making the Pharisees shudder. He would have been seen as the worst type of sinner in Jewish eyes. Think about what he had done. He had wished his father dead to receive the inheritance. He lived a sinful lifestyle in this faraway country. And to top it all off, this Jew was willing to work for a Gentile, but not only that, to work with pigs, which are unclean in Jewish law. Pharisees would have no sympathy for this prodigal son. He deserved to be in need. After all, he had brought this upon himself. It was his choice. He made his bed, and so he must lie in it, would have been their thinking. And that was their opinion of these tax collectors and sinners. They showed them no compassion. In their eyes, they were beyond grace. Well, the sinner, sitting among the pigs, had a lot of time to think. He thinks about his home, how he had so much, and how he had foolishly thrown it all away. And now he had nothing. And so he comes up with this plan that he will go home and he will ask for a job. And we read he comes to his senses. Now, is this the turning point in the story? Often it's portrayed this way. But remember, this parable of the lost son, it sits alongside the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The sheep, after getting lost, doesn't make its own way back to the sheepfold. Nor does the coin, after being lost, fall back into the purse. It doesn't make sense that this third story of getting lost would be different. No, for when the lost son comes to his senses, he's really coming to himself. And that's why the New King James Version helpfully translates it that way. He came to himself. He turned to his own ability to save himself. He's not actually turning to the Father or to God, but to himself. And yes, he apologizes. He even repents of his sin. But notice how he comes up with this plan to save himself. That demonstrates his repentance is not sincere. And the Bible does make it clear that not all repentance is genuine. Paul says so in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where it says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." And there are a number of examples in the Bible. Pharaoh, he apologized after the plague of locusts in Exodus 10, where it says, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, 'I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only.'" Well, his repentance didn't stick, and so God sent further plagues. King Saul is another example. In 1 Samuel 15, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord.' But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.'" And so his repentance was not genuine. Now, in desperate situations, just like this younger man, this younger son, it does cause people to think. And this is helpful, but only if it brings people to God. There is a funny meme at the moment regarding the coronavirus, and it goes like this: "Pray for the hundreds of people doomsday prepping at Costco and still eating the little food sample sitting out for everyone to touch." Now, I don't want to undermine the seriousness of coronavirus, but in a similar way, our attempts of protecting ourselves are often flawed. We think we have come up with the perfect solution, and that's no different than the youngest son. The youngest son, his plan is to return to the father, but relate to him, not as a son, but as a slave. He's going to return and exchange his life in the far country for life in the field. He thinks his older brother has it all worked out. But that's not what the father wants. No, the real turning point of the passage is this description of the father in verse 20. "In compassion, the father sees his son from afar off. He has been looking out for him. He runs to him," something a middle-aged man from that culture would not normally do. He has to hitch up his robes and look ridiculous to make his way to his son. But he didn't care. He loves his son. He has found his son. He hugs him and kisses him. This son who stunk of pigs, who wore these old dirty clothes. For his son was dead, but is now alive. He was lost, but is now found. And he cuts off his son when he tries to buy his way back in. He will not have his son in these terms. No, it's the father who brings the son home. He asks for the best robe to be brought. Well, consider, who owns the best robe? Well, it's the father. It's his robe. And so in his clothes, he dresses him. He puts a ring on his finger. What does a ring demonstrate? Well, rings would have a family crest. They were used to put a seal on a letter. And so this signifies him back into the family, having the authority of the family. He puts sandals on his feet. The son would not be like a servant who would walk around barefooted. No, he was part of the family. Well, have you come to Jesus? He opens his arms to you. Do not come to yourself, but in Christ you have hope because of his great compassion. Well, fourthly, would you rather be a slave or a son? The father orders the fatted calf to be killed. This was a celebration, not only for the father and this lost son, but the whole village celebrates as this calf would feed hundreds. But there's one person who's not celebrating, the older son. He's enraged. He will not join the party. This younger son, he had brought shame on his father. But the older son, by not joining in with the party, he is also bringing shame on his father. He stays outside the home. And so the father bears the shame and goes out to meet with the older son. He pleads with him. He begs him to come in. He wanted him to be part of the party to celebrate his younger brother returning. Now you might be thinking, well, why beg him into the party? He's only going to spoil the mood. No one likes a party pooper, but the father wants him in. In the same way that Jesus seeks those who are slaves to their rules, to their performance, to no freedom, to be part of his kingdom. The older son will not come in. He's angry at his dad for showing this lavish grace to the younger son when he did not even give him a young goat. He expected a reward for his obedience, but he has forgotten that everything he has is from the father. He has already got his share of the inheritance. He does not get a payment for being his son. Instead, it is all his. He has as many goats as he wants. But he would rather be a good slave than a beloved son. And so he's lost. He's separated from the father. He works like a slave to earn his father's favor, forgetting his position as his son. He said he never disobeyed. He's convinced of his own goodness. He won't join the party. He's too good for his own father. He is morally superior. He won't celebrate his wicked brother returning. Instead, he hates his brother for receiving this kindness. The Pharisees are like the older brother. They are the ones who worked hard for God. They have been obedient. They have slaved away. They have sought to earn God's mercy. And so this parable was a slap in the face to the Pharisees. It's not about earning God's favor. And does that resemble you? Is that your type of Christianity? Do you find it hard to celebrate when others come to put their trust in Jesus Christ? Do you think of yourself as superior to others because you worked hard for many years to earn God's favor? Is your view of Jesus a slave master or a loving father? Well, fifthly, let's notice the father calls you his son, his child. Glenn Scrivener describes the father. He is not a grudging paymaster. He is the generous host of a banquet of grace. He is not a harsh slave driver. He's running, hugging, robing, celebrating, reconciler. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. And therefore, he refuses to deal with us on the basis of our moral record, whether good or bad. And so you must forget your sins in the pigsty or forget your obedience in the field and come to the Father, come to Jesus. The story ends with a cliffhanger. How will the older brother respond? It seems we don't know the answer, but we do. Because, as I said, the older brother represents the Pharisees and the scribes. We know exactly what the older brother does in the end. He kills his father for his love for his brother, the sinner. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they hated Jesus so much that they conspired to kill him and demanded his crucifixion. That is where the slavery of self-righteousness will lead you. It forces you to hate Jesus and the grace that he shows you. But it would be through the cross that Jesus, the cross of Jesus, that older brothers would be reconciled to Jesus. They would be welcomed home. Jesus would take off his robe of righteousness and dress us in it. We give him our rags of sin, and he took it on himself and became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He didn't just sacrifice the fatted calf, he sacrificed himself. He didn't just come out of the house to plead with sinners. In humility, he came out of heaven and dwelt among us on this earth. Glenn Scrivener says, this is what he did for you. He was stripped so that you could be robed. He was made sin so that you are made righteous. He was torn apart like bread so that you can feast. Well, how do you respond to Jesus' compassion in finding you? I remember an incident back in Belfast when we were out grocery shopping. We came across a lost child in tears, searching or wanting their mummy. And Heather took the child to customer service, and the security guard asked a few questions. And we expected him to announce over the tannoy that a missing child has been found. But he wouldn't do that because there would be too big a risk that someone other than the child's parent would come. Instead, he wisely waited for the searching mother to come and to find her missing child. The child can do nothing. And so you are the lost child. Nothing you can do can win Jesus' favor. Instead, Jesus in his compassion finds you. Are you the sinner lost in the far country, searching for a good time? Or are you the slave lost in the field, working hard to earn approval? Or are you the child of God who once was lost but now are found in the arms of Jesus? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you as lost sons, asking for forgiveness from when we have gone to the far country, whether physically or mentally, asking forgiveness when we think we have our own plan to win your approval, to earn your respect. Instead, Lord, help us to see that we are in the pigsty, but you in your compassion have found us. You have removed our dirty, sinful clothes and clothed us in your righteousness. You sacrifice yourself so we can feast and be at home and be called your son, your child. And so we thank you that we once were lost, but now are found. Once dead, but now alive in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close our service singing from Psalm 36b. Psalm 36b, we sing in this psalm of the compassion of the Lord. His love reaches the skies like the love of the Father showed to his lost son. That is the love that we enjoy in Christ. And this psalm speaks of a feast, of it being bountiful. Satisfaction is not found in the far country. is found only in Jesus Christ. So let's praise God for his amazing compassion on us as children. Let's stand and praise God.